The conversation jammer turned into a conversation piece as my friends gathered around to play with it and chuckle at the funny sounds it made. Yule got it to generate random profane sentences by cursing into it. But after a few minutes, the voice of Jules Verne Durand, hoarse but composed, was in our ears, telling us that the next phase of the aught was about to begin. Once again, we convened at the water's edge and heard speeches from the four leaders who would be putting pens to paper in a few minutes. First, Ganodru, then Prageshwar, a stocky woman, more grand antish than I had envisioned, in a military uniform. Then the Arbran foreign minister, and finally one of the thousanders who had been hanging around with Frau Lodegier. As each of the speakers finished, they stepped aboard the barge. When our thousander had joined the first three, the oar ladies rowed them out into the middle. They all took up pens and began to sign. All watched in silence for a few moments. But the signing was lengthy, and so, soon enough, people began muttering to one another. Conversations flourished all over, and people began to mill around. It might sound like an odd thing to do, but I strayed around behind the inflatable and counted the coffins. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Taking inventory?
I turned around to find that Frau Lodegier had followed me. I flicked on the conversation jammer, which emitted a stream of profanity in Yule's voice as I said, "It's the only way for me to be sure who is still dead."
"You can be sure now," he said. "It's over. The tally will not change."
"Can you bring people back as well as make them disappear?"
"Not without undoing that."
He nodded at the barge where they were signing the peace.
"I see," I said.
"You were hoping to get Sant Orlo back?"
he asked gently.
"Yes."
Lodegier said nothing, but I was able to work it out for myself. "But if Orlo's alive, it means Lys is buried at Ekba. We don't get the intelligence gleaned from her remains. None of this happens. Peace is only compatible with Lys and Orlo being dead and staying that way."
"I'm sorry," Lodegier said. "There are certain world tracks, certain states of affairs, that are only compatible with certain persons being absent."
"That's the word Frau Jad used," I said, "before he turned up absent." Frau Lodegier looked as if steeling himself to hear some sophomoric outburst from me. I continued, "How about Frau Jad? Any chance he'll be present again?"
"His tragic demise is extensively recorded," said Frau Lodegier, "but I'd not presume to say what an encanter is and is not capable of."
And his gaze fell away from my face and traveled across the milling crowd until it had come to rest, or so I thought, on Magnath Forel. For once, the heritor of Elkhazg did not have Madam Secretary at his side. She was tending to official duties. And so I walked directly over to him.
Did we summon them here? I asked him. Did we call the Ernudens forth? Or is it the case that some Ernudin 1,000 years ago saw a geometric proof in a dream and turned that into a religion, decided that he had been called to a higher world?
Magnath Forel heard me out, then turned his face toward the water, drawing my attention to the peace that was being signed there.
"Behold," he said, "there are 2 Arbrans on that vessel, of co-equal dignity. Such a state of affairs has not existed since the golden age of Ethros. The walls of Tredegar have been brought down. The Avout have escaped from their prisons. Eta mingle and work by their sides. If all of these things had come about as the result of a summoning such as you suppose, would it not be a great thing for the lineage to have brought about?"
"Oh, I should very much like to claim such credit.
Long have my predecessors and I waited for such a culmination. What honors would decorate the lineage were it all true. But it did not come to pass in any such clean and straightforward manner. I do not know the answer, Frau Rasmus. Nor will any born of this cosmos, until we have taken ship on a vessel such as this, and journeyed on to the next."